This is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. You've made the commitment.
You caught the vision.
You want your family to serve God.
But sometimes it's hard to put feet on that vision. Hey, Hal, do visions have feet?
Shh. How do you get from principle to practice?
What do you need to know about the issues affecting your family?
How do you apply God's Word in the 21st century?
Let's talk about it.
This is Making Biblical Family Life Practical with Hal and Melanie Young.
Hello, everyone. This is Hal.
And this is Melanie.
And we want to welcome you to another episode of Making Biblical Family Life Practical. You know, we are in the midst of the cold and flu season, and I was thinking of a passage today when it says in James chapter 1, "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." You know, we are all going to encounter some sickness in life. And it may be like, you know, 5 years ago, I was starting chemotherapy for Hodgkin's lymphoma. I mean, you could be dealing with cancer or leukemia or some big, major, life-threatening health crisis, or you may be dealing with the flu. And I'll tell you, I have felt worse with the flu than I ever did with cancer.
Flu is pretty horrible. I will never forget one time feeling so sick. I remember going to the doctor and thinking, I don't think I can sit up here in the waiting room until they call me back. I felt so bad, I didn't think I could sit there.
Mm.
It's really horrible. And what the problem is, when you have a family, then, you know, it usually hits everybody.
Yeah, and you can't just, you know, crawl into a hole and pull it in behind yourself. You know, if you're the parent, you're on duty. And sometimes you both come to house. One of our friends, I was reading his Facebook feed last week, and he said, "Well, we found out that our washing machine has failed the same morning that we had three children with a stomach virus."
Oh no!
Yes,
and
he said, and he and his wife, he said, were sick as a dog already, and you know, they were just having one of those times, and those things, they do happen, you know, and a lot of these things we just recognize. We live in a fallen world. We are fallen people. And sometimes things happen that you can't plan on or that you didn't bring about yourself. They just happen to you. And then what we do, how we respond to it, is going to make a big difference in our lives, in lives of our children, and in families around us.
Well, dealing with the trial in a godly way can mm-hmm. make the difference between it pulls your family together or it gives you horrible memories that you have to overcome.
Yeah.
And, you know, I remember being sick when we were newlyweds.
Mm-hmm.
And we lived near your family. And I remember your mom coming. And she made these little, like, it was like Jell-O parfaits.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my family fixed Jell-O when you were sick like that. It was a stomach virus.
Right.
But she put them in a beautiful glass. And she, like, tilted them and put a couple of layers, and it was so pretty and enticing. I remember it really made me feel loved, and it helped me to feel better about being sick. And so even things like that can make a difference in, you know, how, whether that's a, so that horrible sickness was a happy memory for me.
How funny.
You know?
Strange thing. Well, you know, that's a big thing. I think when we face these things, when we know that they're going to happen, eventually we're going to come down with sickness or somebody near us is, you know, our attitude to it going in. Nobody wants to be sick. Nobody, you know, nobody says, "Man, I can't wait to have the flu this year." But, you know, when these things happen, how do we respond? Do we say, "Here I am so busy and working so hard and I'm trying to do everything right, and this happens"? Or can we come to it and say, "Well, for reasons I don't understand, God has allowed this into my life for this time. What can I do about it? How can I approach it? Do I rail against it? Do I, you know, figuratively beat my fist on God's chest and say, why?
And get all mad and irritable and yelling at everybody.
Or do we say, "Well, you know, I don't understand it, and I'm certainly not enjoying it, but I know that God is good. And he has a purpose for these things." You know, one of the best things that, that happened to me during this cancer experience was somebody sent me an article by John Piper, and he talked about really taking your faith into a cancer diagnosis, which he had to do himself. And the number one thing was understand that God is in charge and your illness didn't sneak up on him. He knew you were going to be sick. He knew the date you were going to be infected. He knew the effect it was going to have on you. And it's part of his plan for your life. And, you know, when you can look at it and say, God is doing something here, which maybe I'll understand one day, but I'm going to do my best to live out my life in faith in a loving and sovereign God and not, you know, let this just totally destroy my belief or my trust or anything else, but rather, all right, how can I live as a Christian who's suffering from, be it cancer, be it the common cold?
Right.
And sometimes the common cold is harder to deal with.
Well, yeah, because when you are going through a really bad trial like cancer, you steel yourself. You know, you gird up your loins, you fight the battle. Sometimes these smaller trials, I think of as being pecked to death by chickens.
Yeah.
Sometimes the smaller trials catch us unaware.
Well, and people are less understanding.
Yeah.
You say, oh, that poor woman, she's dealing with breast cancer. Let's all rally around and help them out. You know, that there is, oftentimes there's help and there's sympathy and there's community. But when you say, oh, you've got that bug that's going around, man, it went through our family. It was awful.
It was really bad.
Yeah, it took us weeks and weeks. Oh, it was terrible. Yeah, we'll talk about that in a minute. But, you know, understand and just recognize it's different and it's different for everybody. So how should we then live? Well, you know, right there, James says, when we're looking at our troubles, when we're looking at trials and persecutions of any sort, you know, recognizing that God's at work and that it takes patience, doesn't it? It does take patience. And that's something which is part of the process. You know, we always laugh about, you know, God, give me patience. I need it like right now. You know, we want to learn patience, but we don't want to go through the schooling. Yeah. And that's tough. So, if you can start with that attitude, we find that that's really helpful. Now, what about some other things? Well, you know, we can talk about some practical things. You know, the fact of the matter is, when the bug hits, you still got to live.
And, you know, frankly, you know that if one person in your family is coming down with the flu, probably everybody already has it.
Right.
And so what we do is we immediately sit down and think, okay, what are we going to need to survive this if we all come down with this in the next 12 hours?
Mm-hmm.
And so what we do is we go to the store. If we don't already have them, which we tend to, we get paper plates, paper cups, plastic silverware. Even if you have a Sam's Club nearby, plastic silverware is really cheap there.
Right.
You know, get a lot of paper products because when everybody's sick, you really don't have time or energy to do dishes, and you have to be really careful doing dishes to make sure you're not further spreading germs.
Ooh, and you know what? We're past this stage, but give yourself permission to get some disposable diapers. You may be doing the whole cloth thing, but do you really need to be doing cloth diapers when you're washing everybody's bed sheets two or three times a day?
Yeah.
Maybe we can minimize the impact.
And
for a
so
little bit.
Get a lot of paper products. We also, one thing we get, if anybody's tummy is affected, which flu it sometimes it is, sometimes it isn't.
Right.
If anybody's tummy is affected, then we make sure every child has their own little waste basket or ice cream tub or bucket. And I like to line them with those little white wastebasket trash bags that are vanilla scented.
Yeah.
Because that smell really helps cut down on the nausea.
Mm-hmm.
And our rule is if you have felt like you're going to throw up, I had better not see you without that within arm's reach, without a bucket within arm's reach, because
right.
Ain't nobody got time to be cleaning vomit off the floor.
Right.
And so we get that. I also try to get several of those $1 great big plastic tablecloths that you can get at Dollar Tree for parties.
Yeah.
Because that way you can like cover up your carpet in the living room or the den, put everybody on the couches, and really cut down on any potential laundry because you don't need to be getting dirty laundry in the midst of all this with everybody feeling so badly.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we get stuff that we're going to need for rehydration. Our favorite rehydration thing is half club soda, half orange juice with just a pinch of salt in it. That's a good rehydration formula that we've enjoyed. Mm-hmm. And it's really not very expensive, and it's not as nasty and clingy as the, like, Gatorade kind of stuff, you know, the super sweet stuff.
Yeah. So, so really, I mean, take it seriously. It's okay. You don't have to overreact to anything, but just recognize that when you're sick, you're sick. That does call for a little different routine, and there's nothing wrong with taking a little bit of extra care of each other to try to minimize its impact. Because, that's one of the things. Sometimes we think, and I saw this when I was working in the corporate world, you know, we feel like, well, it's okay. It's just a little touch of typhoid. I can make it into the office today. You know, we think we're going to soldier on somehow. And we don't seem to recognize that maybe it's mom who's trying to teach school, even though she's, you know, feels like she's knocking on death's door. Maybe it's your student. Maybe it's your child who's feeling so crummy. You know what? Is it really worth it to be working at half your efficiency, you know, and making mistakes and taking extra time because you're just too sick to concentrate? Is that really efficient? Do you get, like, virtue points on somebody's scoreboard for doing that?
Well, and, you know, lots of times it causes it to spread. And what I wish people could realize is that for people who have a great immune system and they're hardly ever sick, you know, I had a friend who says she looks forward to getting the flu every year. Because she never gets very sick, and it gives her a few days off that where she doesn't have to do anything. And so she really doesn't take any precautions about spreading it. So, you know, well, we can't miss church because, you know, we have to be providentially entered. We didn't have a car accident on the way to church, so we're going to be in church because we care about church. You know what? I think you need to be in church. But you need to recognize that what to you is a minor inconvenience, or maybe even you look forward to taking a few days off, to another family could be devastating.
Honest to goodness, that is so true. You know, because there's another thing that comes in here. The Bible says a lot about suffering and being patient and bearing up through it. But the Bible says a lot about love for one another. And love is considering other people ahead of yourself. And, you know, I've got to say, our church has been very good about this because we have large families, and some families have some chronic health issues. And it's understood. If you're sick, friends, that's a providential hindrance. Please do not come to church.
In fact, if anybody in your family has the flu, you need to be home.
Right.
First of all, you need to be home ministering to them. But secondly, if anybody in your family has the flu, you have definitely been exposed, and you probably have it, but you're just not showing it yet. And sometimes you can be very contagious in that stage. And I know I have had a notoriously bad immune system in the past. And someone else would get sick for 3 days, and I'd get sick for 3 weeks.
Oh, it was remarkable. And I want to talk about something we discovered on that we can share with folks. I'm just looking at our time. I wonder if this is a good time to do a little break and talk about upcoming events and such.
Well, let's wait 1 minute. I want to say something else about this, about kindness to other people.
Go ahead.
Because, you know, we've dealt with cancer where getting a bad cold, getting the flu when you were under chemotherapy could have killed you. You know, we've dealt with a baby with a heart condition that for whom getting sick was very dangerous. You don't know what's going on in other people's families. And don't spread this stuff. Stay home. Stay home from church. The Lord understands. Worship Him there as a family. Stay home from work. Don't spread it if you've got the flu. Because what may not be a big deal for you may be life-changing for somebody else.
Wow. That is so real. Well, I'll tell you what. Let's jump in here and talk for just a minute because we're about to kick off and get on the road.
And after the break, we're going to talk about how this affects your schooling and your kids and how to survive it.
Right. Okay. So, hopefully we're all going to be well enough to get on the road next week. We're heading to Florida. We're going to be going down to the Tampa area. Actually, we're going to be at Bell Shoals Baptist Church in Brandon, Florida, which is a part of the greater Tampa metroplex, if you will. And we're going to be there on January 24th. Okay. That is the date they're going to be holding their Be Encouraged conference, a homeschool conference. sponsored there by Bell Shoals Baptist Church, and we are going to be the keynote speakers.
That's going to be fun.
We're looking forward to that. They said, can you come to Tampa, Florida in January? And we said, yeah, we'll make that happen, sure. Now, we're also going to be speaking in Sanford on the Thursday night before then. That will be on January 22nd, and we're going to have more details about that. Tell them where to find our website.
RaisingRealMen.com and go to events.
Well, actually, not events, but calendar.
Calendar, okay.
If you go to the main page and you see the link that says events, click on that. But if you just want to type it in, go to RaisingRealMen.com/calendar, and that'll take you to the page you're thinking about.
Okay, and you will be able to find where we'll be and what we'll be doing,
mm-hmm.
and we would love to meet you.
Absolutely, we would. You know, when we first started this traveling and speaking ministry several years ago, and I was actually just starting chemotherapy then. That was another story. One of our first stops, this was so embarrassing. One of our first stops, a lady came up to us in the booth, came up to y'all because I wasn't in the booth.
That was so horrible.
And she said, oh, I loved your book and I feel like I know you all. And she came and she gave everybody a big hug. She was a very affectionate,
yes.
sweet, kind woman. Loved, sweet woman.
And she had hugged us all.
After she'd gotten everybody a big hug.
She said, it was really hard for me to get here today because my whole family has the stomach flu. But I came anyway because I was dying to hear you in person.
Boy, let me tell you what. Saturday, well, we got ready to leave on Sunday, and I went in our adjoining room there with the young guys that worked our booth. And my word, it looked like the aftermath of a fraternity party.
They
had been so sick, just taking turns in the bathroom all night. It was just wretched. And yeah, I think everybody got it, didn't we? It went through the whole family the next 3 days.
We all got it. You got it.
I remember you were
so sick, and they didn't know even whether they could give you your chemotherapy that week.
Yeah.
Because you'd been so sick. And then our poor son drove
a thousand miles from his college
to spend his spring break with us out there in the Midwest. And he got it.
He got it. So he spent half of his spring break in the bathroom.
It was a nightmare, and I just kept thinking, what on earth was she thinking?
Well, I don't think she was thinking. I think it was just, she thought, well, we're fighting this off and it's going to be okay and hopefully everything will be fine. And you just don't know. You just can't assume that other people have as resilient a constitution as,
it turned the whole weekend a nightmare for us.
Let me mention that because you mentioned your immune system was not too good in mine. I mean, during that time, my immune system was just no good. And that's a side effect for chemo. One of the things you discovered as you were researching, my treatment and everything.
Is that vitamin D makes a big difference to your immune system.
That's right. And so I'm taking lots of vitamin D to try to buttress up what's left.
And so I start taking vitamin D, and it changed it for me.
You did. You noticed. I remember that. You noticed that after that winter came by. You said, I haven't been sick this year.
It was amazing.
Like normally.
And since then, that's been 5 years ago, I take vitamin D every day.
Yeah.
And what I found out is sometimes the kids get sick and I don't get sick. That had never happened before.
Ooh, that's a novelty.
Yeah. Vitamin D is wonderful if you struggle with getting sick a lot. Get D3. That's the most effective version.
Mm-hmm.
We'll put a link out on the show notes.
Yeah.
But vitamin D, garlic capsules. Garlic has a compound in it that can help fight viruses.
Mm-hmm.
We love Emergen-C.
That was something your mother recommended that, and I just kind of brushed it off for a while because I thought, yeah, that's one of those marketed patent medicine kind of things. I didn't pay any attention, but then sometime, you try these things in desperation sometimes.
Yeah.
And I remember the first time I tried it, and I said, wow, I feel better in just a few hours. I could feel, some lessening of my symptoms. So when we start feeling a cold coming on, we'll hit that Emergen-C. Is the product, and I'm sure there's probably others like it, but it's just basically it's a big walloping dose of vitamin C.
Yeah, it helps your body fight things.
Mm-hmm.
That garlic capsules, vitamin D, that's our go-to.
Yeah.
For help, so you get those things. Get yourself some easy things to cook, some chicken soups. You can get takeout soup at the Chinese restaurant really easily.
Oh,
hot and sour soup will help clear out your sinuses. Get get some soup, get some crackers, ramen noodles, things that are easy to fix, easy to digest, because nobody may feel like cooking, and you want whoever does feel like it to be able to handle it.
You know, and a funny thing, too, if you haven't noticed this, comfort food is not necessarily bland, squishy food. You know, I know there's times when I felt sick where the idea of eating a pizza sounded great.
Chili is a comfort food to me.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't have to be, you know, mild, mushy, milk toast kind of stuff. Although sometimes that's all you can deal with.
But whatever your family likes. Now, let's talk about school.
Yeah.
Because I have a tendency to be behind. And I panic when we get something like the flu where I know we're going to be, it's going to be a week or 2 weeks. Or one time we got the flu, it was like 3 weeks before everybody was well.
And I know that when you were a kid growing up, you stay home from school when you've got the flu or a fever or something because you don't want to make the other kids sick. But you might not think that, you know, if you're homeschooling,
no,
who cares? They're going to be exposed already.
Oh, homeschool moms are so bad, Hal. We're like, oh, honey, your fever's down to 99. Let's do some math.
Mm.
No, Mom, okay? They can't concentrate when they're sick like that. I used to be like that sometimes. No. Mm-hmm. Instead, why don't you put on a video or something that's going to be educational?
It's kind of
and they're
going to
learn
though.
Something from, but they can just kind of sit there and point their eyeballs at it, and they don't have to think real hard.
You know, one of the best things, and I know our kids have learned a lot over the many sicknesses with this, Moody Science has a series of videos that they did. Some of them are quite old, but the basic science is the same.
And they're really interesting.
And some of the modern, some of the newer ones are fantastic. You know, and I know AIG and the Institute for Creation Research and others have some fantastic science videos. And some of those things you can just get online, too. Some of them you can just download.
Audiobooks, you know, and we'll put some links to some of these in the show notes, too.
Sure.
Audiobooks, our Pollyanna is great. One of our friends, college-age girl, went to Africa this summer as a short-term missionary. And she had taken a copy of our Pollyanna audiobook with us,
right,
with her.
Mm-hmm.
And she got malaria. And she said it was such a comfort to her to listen to that and have a story to take her mind off of what she was going through. But she didn't even have to open her eyes. She could lie there with her eyes closed and listen to something that was encouraging and encourage her to have a godly attitude about her suffering.
Wow.
But was funny and interesting, too.
Those are great ideas. Those are some great
things. We've got a bunch of great audiobooks at our site, like the Cry from Egypt Radio Theater.
Mm-hmm.
So, also the Jonathan Park audio dramas are really good.
Sugar Creek Gang, the G.A. Hinty audiobooks that Jim Hodges records.
Yeah.
Just love those.
And even things like Magic School Bus. You know, mm-hmm. There's a lot of things that your kids can be learning without it stressing them out or making it hard, that they can really enjoy it. Can keep them quiet, get some of those things going, and just don't worry about the math and grammar. You got plenty of time, but this is not the time.
That is such a good piece of advice, you know, because we get, especially when you're down in the trenches, you want to contest every single hour. You want to make every moment count on the transcript.
We lose perspective.
We lose perspective, and sometimes say, you know what, at the end of the year, nobody is going to ask, you know, did you do every single moment that you had on your schedule? You know, did you skip anything or did you postpone anything? Fail. Oh, you failed. Don't do
no,
that
no,
to
no.
yourself.
They never finish the books in the public schools. If your kids were in school, they wouldn't let them in school with the flu, and they wouldn't be able to make up most of that work. You know, at least you can make up most of it.
You know what? Most of that work. The real work, I mean, the content, the learning, they'll catch up. Okay? It's not a matter of how many problems you finished. It's a matter of, did you learn concepts?
At this point, you've got to survive.
Yeah.
And your kids have got to survive. And, you know, don't take the flu too lightly.
Mm-mm.
It is a very serious illness, and it can be fatal.
We've had like 3 dozen people in our state die.
We really have.
This time around. Because, you know, the flu vaccine is always a best guess every year anyway. This year, they missed it. The strain that's going around is not the one that was included in the vaccine this year.
And so lots more people getting sick. And, you know, so what do you do? First of all, you watch that kid.
Mm-hmm.
And if your child is not responding well to you and they seem to be getting sicker and sicker, especially if they're not drinking enough,
mm-hmm.
you know, they're not going to the bathroom enough, get them to a doctor. You know, your child's life is more important than whatever the doctor's going to cost. And I say that as somebody who really struggles, you know, with that. I hate to spend the money. I hate to spend the time. But, you know,
mm-hmm.
I had a friend who lost a child to the flu.
And you know what? There are antiviral agents now, but you have to get them like the first 3 days after they start showing symptoms, or else.
And they're not even recommended for kids anymore because they found out that they're dangerous.
Well, maybe that'll pull mama out of the ditch.
Yeah, but anyway, get some help if you need it. Mm-hmm. But take it seriously enough. Get the things you need from the store. Get home, bat down the hatches, and you know, if you take the time to care for one another and to love one another through this, to show for those that are healthier, to serve those that are sicker, you can actually build some pretty happy memories, even from the flu.
You know, I was thinking the other day, are there any benefits from the experiences we've been through with, especially with our, you know, crucial, critical, life-threatening illnesses? And I had to think, just a very simple one. When I started chemotherapy, we had already contracted to go speak to all of these conferences. And the doctor said, your immune system is totally in the tank. You can't be out there in a book fair shaking hands with people and talking to folks close up. You can stand on a platform and speak to them 40 feet away. That's okay, but don't hang around the book fair. And our teenage son said, don't worry, Dad. We'll take care of the booth. And you know what? They ran that booth. And that was really a blessing because in the early days of our ministry and our family business, the young guys were called to step up and fill in the gap that Dad had left, and they bonded into the whole endeavor. And so I felt like that we've had a good, strong family, unity about the business because of that early start, which wouldn't have happened if I hadn't been sick.
And you know what? When you go through these trials and your children have to step up to the plate, you know, it's amazing to see them rise to the occasion, to see them showing love to their siblings, to their parents, by working hard, by doing things maybe you didn't think they could do.
You'd be surprised what young people can do in a pinch.
It really is. And so let them.
Yeah.
You know, let them have that satisfaction of really helping the family.
And that's another thing. I'm glad you brought that up. You know, in Galatians, I think it's Galatians 6:1, if I remember correctly, it says to bear one another's burdens and thus fulfill the law of Christ. You know what? If I don't tell you, hey, I'm sick, I really need some help, if I don't share my burden, you can't fulfill that commandment.
That's right.
And that is so tough because especially we guys, we want to say, it's all right, it's nothing but a flesh wound. I'll make it. You know, I've been sicker than this before. And, you know, really, we're preventing other people from blessing us and blessing themselves by fulfilling the commands of Christ.
And so let your Christian brothers and sisters, your friends, your church, mm-hmm. know when you need help. You know, some of you are not going to have any income if Dad's homesick.
Mm-hmm.
Let the church know. Let the church know you're struggling. Let them fulfill the law of Christ in blessing you.
If nothing else, they can pray for you.
That's right.
Good. You always need that. But yeah, don't be proud. Take it seriously. And when you need help, ask for help. Accept help. And guess what? You'll have the opportunity to do it for other people, too.
That's right. We hope you'll have a well mm-hmm. and healthy winter. But if you're not, then we hope that you'll glorify God in your sickness.
Oh, boy. That is so true. And if you are anywhere in the Florida Peninsula, we hope we'll see you on January 22nd in Sanford and January 24th in Tampa, where we're going to be speaking. And if you want to see us or hear us speak, come out and look at our website, raisingrealmen.com/calendar. And I'll tell you what, we are going to be all over the country this year.
So if you want us to come and speak at your church or mm-hmm. your homeschool group or your mom's group, then why not go to halandmelanie.com/speaking, download our speaker packet, and let us know.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're going to be all over the place, and we would love to stop and speak in your area.
That's right.
Hal, we've got to go.
Yeah, that's right. Our time is up, but we do appreciate you sharing it with us, and we'll look forward to meeting with you again, talking about taking biblical truth into the 21st century family. Till then, I'm Hal.
And I'm Melanie.
We'll talk to you later.
Bye, folks.
You've been listening to Making Biblical Family Life Practical with Hal and Melanie Young. If you found this program interesting, challenging, and encouraging, why not join us on the web at halandmelanie.com. That's HalandMelanie.com. Or follow us on social media. You can find us on Facebook at Facebook.com/HalandMelanie or Facebook.com/RaisingRealMen. This program is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. Join us next week when we'll be back to talk about making biblical family life practical. Until then, thank you and God bless you for listening.